My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Show and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like plural, big, lots of S's, lots of E's in S. Bees. that was not
bees.
Fun. Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, all right. Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you along for the ride on this Monday afternoon, this fine October day. Look, you've been complaining it's hot. You know, I guess you got your wish, at least for the front end of this week. Going to be a little bit of a cool down here, so we shall persevere. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. He will be back tomorrow. Zach Jones saddled up as well. And as he just mentioned to you, we're sort of, on edge isn't exactly right. It's a little too strong. But I'm curious to hear what the injury update is going to be off of Saturday, because there were, I think some borderline important guys that are on this list. As far as, you know, making the roster for depth, I'm thinking about a couple of edge guys in Tuhill, and really Javon Solomon's the guy I'm more thinking about. Sure, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but backup quarterback Mitch Trubisky has a knee injury. Look, to me, watching the game, there was not an obvious place where he had contact, but he did hobble after one play where it's just like maybe the turf monster. I don't know. So we'll see what Sean McDermott has to say. We're going to be monitoring that in about, 15 or 20 minutes. He'll be talking with the local media, and we'll fill you in on what sort of info we get there. We are 2 weeks into the preseason, and we've got one more of these games to go. On Saturday afternoon, the Bills will host the Carolina Panthers out at Highmark Stadium, and we'll see what the injury situation with the team has been, sort of leading decisions that have been made. Josh Allen, they chose not to play him on a wet, rain-soaked field in Pittsburgh Saturday night. And what I just said about Trubisky, if I'm right guessing about how he got hurt, maybe that was pretty smart. But they're holding linebackers out because of Milano's injury, Terrell Bernard, and that gave an opportunity to one of the best stories I can remember from a Bills training camp ever. Just simply because you've got a guy that grew up here, went to Lancaster High School, University at Buffalo product, street free agent, shows up at rookie camp and earns his way to a camp invite and gets the start at middle linebacker and was the story of the game on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Joe Andreessen, Buffalo Joe, I guess Josh is calling him. And it's heartwarming. I mean, obviously you want guys that can play on your football team if they're from here and maybe he grew up dreaming of someday playing. I just can't stop thinking about his family and just how cool an opportunity this is for him to just, you know, in stages, right? Like, oh, you're going to get to go to Bill's rookie camp. That's awesome, Joe. Way to go. Congratulations. Oh, they like you enough. They're going to bring you back for, okay, great. Hey, you're starting Saturday against Pittsburgh. And I don't know, man. Look, I'm not Joe Tape or anything, busting stuff down for you. A lot of people in that space that do a very, very credible job. It certainly looked to me like Andreessen was not out of place, to say the least. He was everywhere in this game on Saturday, especially, I would say, notably early in the game when there were still starters playing for both sides. I mean, he played into the fourth quarter, so piled up some, you know, an impressive stat line with all the tackles. But, man, early in the game, how about this for an example of what a great job I think he did? The play he makes on Jalen, I know the fourth down stop is the big one, right? This is a big loss, and it's a turnover on downs in a game that was, you know, still was very tight the whole time. The Bills still haven't scored a touchdown in two preseason games. We'll get to that. But the play, he makes a play on Warren in the open field where he gets off. There's a guard out in space blocking him, and he gets off the block, sheds the block, and is able to tackle Warren in the open field. And you know what my brain did? How many times have I referenced, even going back to last year's preseason game in Pittsburgh, how Warren made Jordan Poyer look in the open field? Now, you know, everything's not equal here, different angle of attack and whatever, but I was alarmed last year. I was really worried. Like, oh no. Hey, like, if we lost a step and a half here, like, what is going on? And here's Andreessen, undrafted dude, shedding the block and making a play on a guy who last year made an all-pro safety for the Bills look really pedestrian. That I was super impressed by that. I'm sure a lot of fans are feeling really good, and I don't know how you can't be rooting for this kid to make the team now. And in a certain way, I think he did himself a lot of good, obviously, playing the way he played on Saturday. I don't know that it becomes – he's going to have to make the roster, I think, maybe, in order to make the team. Because the way he played on Saturday, to me, some linebacker needy team out there, I think, could be looking at how he played on Saturday and thinking, if that dude hits the waiver wire, we're on it. We'll put him on the 53 right now. Like, he can play, you know, a backup role, special teams, whatever. He can play on our team. You know, I don't know if anybody would have bigger plans than that for him, and I doubt that the Bills even have bigger plans for that than that for him now, off of that performance. But it's certainly something to build on, and I think the idea all along has been they like him, and much like they've done with a couple of other UB guys recently, Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis, like, practice squad, ramp them up, keep them around, keep them in the system, and at some point, you know, maybe it'll be time for you to really contribute and be on the active roster. I don't know. I wouldn't guarantee that he can't get through waivers and get to the practice squad now, but I think a performance like Saturday makes it harder for the Bills to expect that could happen. I think he hits the waiver wire, somebody could claim him, and that's the end of that. And there goes Buffalo Joe off to, you know, wherever. He becomes New York Joe or Chicago Joe or Tampa Joe pretty quick. So I'm interested to see how that shakes out and how the Bills will approach that. Like, they have had a rash of injuries at linebacker. Of course, we know about Milano already. Baylen Specter, I think, is the guy that Andreessen has to beat out. And what Specter hasn't been able to do, really, is ever capitalize on the opportunity that is presented to him. He's had rough luck with injuries. I mean, the opportunity was there last year, late in the year, for him to help out, and he did some, but then got hurt. Here we are in camp again. Milano is out. They want to hold Bernard out, and they're to Joe Andreessen starting at middle linebacker because Baylen Spector is hurt. And so I'm not about punishing guys who are hurt. I know they like Spector when he's healthy and what he can do for them on the field, but, you know, I'm thinking of when Sean McDermott first got here, Sal Capaccio laying on us the best, like, McDermott's favorite ability is availability. And Spector, I don't know if they can count on him. And Andreessen, all he's done is show up and take advantage of the situation. So if I had to choose right now, I'm not in charge, and you don't have to make this decision now, I don't think it's that hard. I would keep Andreessen over Spector simply because Andreessen has proven he can play and hasn't gotten dinged yet, whereas Spector is pretty regularly on the injury report and missing practices.
Yeah, and that's continuing. Not to damper the mood. Like, I feel bad now, but we do have the injury update. McDermott is speaking with the media, and it is Trubisky, MVS, Quinton Morse, DeMar Hamlin, and Baylen Spector are all week to week. Many of them left the game on Saturday. Yep. Hamlin didn't even play, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
And then Trubisky, Valdes-Scantling, and Morris, kind of further this, will miss multiple weeks.
Any word on Javon Solomon in that mix of players?
Nothing on Javon Solomon. Curtis Samuel's dealing with turf toe.
Okay.
So he's also going to be week to week. That injury list is piling up. And to Andreessen's point, though, I mean, for him to not look out of place, and funny enough, like, for an undrafted guy, he looks athletic enough to be in the NFL, which is always the one big thing you look at with undrafted guys is, they're going to look like a college player compared to an NFL player. Not at all. He looks exactly what you want to see out of, like, a young fifth round, sixth round linebacker.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but that's tough to hear. That list of injuries. I'm really curious about Solomon because of the guys injured on Saturday. I think he's really has been in a good spot all camp long. He's a draft pick. Undersized defensive end. I think he's been showing very well for himself, and I feel like that's a guy that that should make the roster at this point if he's healthy.
All right, some more positive news. Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards, and Nick Morrow will be limited participants at practice week. Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson will be limited this week.
Okay.
So he at least seems to have avoided anything
serious. Not super serious, okay. But week to week on those other dudes, especially Trubisky. I mean, we were already at... Right, Shane Bouchel got hurt in the preseason opener, so here comes Ben DiNucci. He's here for a few days, got to play in a game, just hands the ball off a bunch, and that's that. Now what? Your backup quarterback is week to week. I mean, obviously he's not going to play this week against Carolina, so at the very least, you need a body. You're going to need a guy to get through this game with Ben DiNucci, I would expect that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
That's like the bare minimum I would expect. Although I guess, I don't know, maybe they feel like if Allen's going to play in this preseason game, and I'm ready to predict that he will, he has played in the third and final preseason game a couple of different times in his career. And not having played Saturday, I'm going to guess that that's definitely on the table. I don't know that he will or won't play, and it's early in the week, and I wouldn't expect to get anything definitive from Sean McDermott on that yet. Probably not until Thursday or Friday will we hear about that. But I would guess that they're going to need another dude to get through the game on Saturday. Just your classic last preseason game, Chris Sims, just come on in and hang out, and you know, you're not really a Bill, but here's a uniform for a day. Enjoy it. Run out of the tunnel. Have fun, right? Matt Leinart was an example of someone that was used that way as well. So I think they're going to need that. Now what I'm wondering, and this is twofold for me, because not just the injury, of course, chiefly, the Bills might feel like they're in good hands with Mitchell Trubisky if he has to play, and feel like if he's healthy, there's no question he's their backup quarterback. I think there's a question. I mean, I know it's late here, but I wonder if the injury news coupled with what he's looked like, how he's played in these two games so far, has the Bills wondering if there's any alternative out there that could be viewed at least as an equal or even an improvement. Ryan Tannehill's a name that I'm thinking about. I've gotten to the point where I'm looking at Trubisky's contract. He does have some guaranteed money, but he's going to count, I think, $2 million against the cap, and the dead money's $1.5 million. So they save a little if they make a move on Trubisky. And the injury notwithstanding, that guy's not any good. He's just not any good. He doesn't have it. He does not have it. I liked this as an idea. Is it 3 years ago now that they brought him in after he left Chicago? It's okay, hey, give him a chance to come in and reestablish his value. And I guess to an extent that happened because, well, you know what? He didn't play at all. He played in the preseason that year and then never had to get in for any meaningful snaps. I can't tell you for sure whether he took any kneel downs or not in that season. But in the 21 season when he was here the first time. But since he left here and played in Pittsburgh, every time I watched him play, I just thought, no, it's not there. He can't pull the trigger. I don't think he sees it well enough to trust himself to pull the trigger. And I just think that's a real problem. So, and I know, look, it's backup quarterback. And on one hand, right, you could be inclined to say this because it's not untrue. It's I think pretty true. Like if something really serious were to happen to Josh Allen, God forbid, your season's toast anyway. Like I don't think it even matters who your backup quarterback is, right? But if you're in a situation where Allen gets dinged in a game and has to go, you know, the concussion spotter or something and miss a series or two because he's getting cleared to taking the tests, or even if it's a one or two game absence, not a season-ending thing. Like, I'm with you on a season-ending thing. with Josh Allen, I don't care who the backup is, it's over. You know, like, your season is effectively over. We'll watch the games and we'll talk about the games and we'll hope for the best, but come on. I just cannot see a scenario where, and I would have said this any of the last few years since Allen ascended to this level. It's especially true now with the rest of the roster. I think you're just cooked. But, you know, in a very short window, I think you'd want to be as good as you can be there, and I just don't think Trubisky is it. So I'm curious what their way forward is going to be at backup quarterback. Again, with Trubisky week to week, and the clarification is several weeks he's in that group?
Yes, he is in that group.
So, I mean, we're just about what I think you could term several weeks away from the season beginning, actually. So they may have to do something more than just an arm to get through a game on Saturday. They may be in the market for a backup quarterback to begin the season with, you know, unless in the span of less than a week already they think Ben DiNucci can do that for them, which, I don't know. At this point, I don't know how much I'd want to differentiate DiNucci from Trubisky. He didn't really get a chance to throw the ball much. He handed it off almost every play, DiNucci on Saturday night when he played. So, I don't know. That's probably not going to give anybody comfort. Oh, no, well, he's here. He knows the system because he's been here a week. I don't know about that. But I think they've got a problem there that is nuanced. Because, as I said, you know, on one hand, you know, how much do you want to worry about what and who is going to play quarterback if Allen can't for an extended period, like a season-ending thing? You know, well, then I think you're cooked, and I don't think it matters if it's Ryan Tannehill or Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett or whoever you're going to get at this point. I only mentioned Pickett because I feel like it's possible he could get cut in Philadelphia. I know he's been the number two guy, but the number three guy looked pretty good in preseason game number two last week for them. So anyway, I think the Bills have got they've got a situation on their hands here with backup quarterback. There's a couple of observations for you. It's mostly injury-centric. The rest of the game, I already talked about Andreessen and what a great story that is. There's anything from these first two games, or especially Saturday, that you want to get in and talk about, love to have you. There's going to be a lot of time for you today as Mike is off. It's just me and Zach hanging out. 803-0550 is the phone number. We will have Sal Capaccio on at 4 o'clock so we can kind of get the lowdown on everything that I, myself, right now, and all of you, presumably, are not hearing Sean McDermott tell the media on a Zoom conference call. And plus, we'll go over the game with Sal from Saturday night and his what seemed like a pretty great week in Pittsburgh. So that's coming your way at 4. At 5, our buddy Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports will be with us to talk about some of the rookies here so far and his observations of the Bills as they get ready for the 2024 season. Couple of other things, couple of other items from Saturday night that I'm mostly excited about. There's one that I was really bummed out and disappointed to see, and I'll get to it all here in short order as we see if we can fill up the phone lines with folks who want to talk with me at 803-0550. Gregory Rousseau was a monster in this game on Saturday night. I was so impressed because what I think, at least to my eyes, what I saw from Rousseau was a new value added feature, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. Him and look, maybe Pittsburgh's first round right tackle from a year or two ago is a real problem for them. That's how Pittsburgh sounds. Broderick Jones had a very tough time out there against Greg Rousseau. But the thing that I was so impressed by is that he used power on this guy. Got him off balance with his shiftiness and then just powered through him. And Rousseau, to me, has not really flashed that kind of play before. He's more of a, you know, gonna use my length, get around the edge, that kind of thing. To see him just manhandle an NFL first round offensive tackle the way he did on one of those sacks, it was very encouraging. It to me, I could be overreacting. I probably am. I don't know. It felt like evidence of a new tactic that he has realized he can use to his advantage. And the more, I think the more tools you've got in the toolkit, the better off you're going to be at really any position or really anything in life, whether it's sports or not. And I felt like what you saw from Rousseau there on a couple of plays against Broderick Jones was evidence of him really doing work and trying to find other ways to win at the point of attack. So I was super impressed with what I saw from Rousseau. I'm liking the rookie corner return guy Hardy a lot. I think he looks, I mean, obviously the 30 yard or 30 plus yard return is evidence of his competence in that respect. He was secure with the ball. No bobbles, nothing on the ground. And I think defensively he's been sneaky pretty good. So I'm digging that. There's a really good competition back there in that secondary because they've got some dudes back there. Ingram has had a nice camp and a nice summer and these preseason games too. So I liked what you saw there. Ray Davis, Mike's not here today. I'm sure we'll hear all about it tomorrow. That remember Mike made a list on Friday, things he wanted to see, and Ray Davis was a part of that. And boy did he look nice on Saturday night. The whole running it. I mean, the Bills just didn't do anything really through the air. I mean, there was the one nice pass from Trubisky to Davidson, and that was pretty much it through the air in this game. But I really liked the running game overall. The line of scrimmage was very strong in this game, and Ray Davis really flashed, I thought. So that was encouraging. The other thing, remember Mike's list? One of the other things on the stay healthy, I mean, we got a list of injuries just from this game, so that didn't happen. Ray Davis, okay, check, that worked. I think he flashed. Wanted to see Keon Coleman do something, and instead we got the opposite. Really too bad. He did catch one ball, but that ball in the end zone should have been a catch. I don't think there's any two ways about it. Was it perfect? I wouldn't say it was perfect, but it was definitely catchable. And I don't know what happened on the play. If Coleman got spooked by the Steeler defender that was there to pop him if he caught the ball, or you're going to get hit if you touch the ball anyway. It just, that was a drop. It was a touchdown drop. And I don't know, maybe I'd be feeling better about Trubisky if that's caught and you get in the end zone there. But that's a play that needs to be made, especially like the most troubling thing about it to me is that I expect Coleman, because of his resume, to not get lots of separation and therefore be in traffic. And there was a play where he was open in traffic, is definitely going to get hit if, you know, but that's a catch you got to make. I mean, that's an NFL pitching catch. And that was really disappointing to me, I thought. So a couple of pros, couple of cons, and that's where we're at through two preseason games. All right, 803-0550, again, is the phone number. Would love to have you in here today. Sal Capaccio at 4, Chris Trapasso at 5. A lot of football and a lot of time for you, as I said, with Mike off. Along with Zach Jones, I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
You know, when a young guy gets an opportunity and he makes the most of it, it's just fun to watch a young man like that, especially a local. I think I met his aunt in the elevator in the hotel, and she was excited, was on the phone with Joe's mom, who had just called in at the time. And you know, you love stories like that, right? So real happy for Joe.
All right, it is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Saturday night after their preseason win in Pittsburgh, he is just wrapping up, I think, a Zoom session with the local media with lots of injury updates that we'll be pouring over as the afternoon unfolds. Sal Capaccio will be with us in about half an hour to give us the full rundown. But if you missed the first segment of the show, here is the story from McDermott just within the last 15 or 20 minutes or so. The following players are all going to be out multiple weeks: Mitch Trubisky, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Quinton Morris. Curtis Samuel, DeMar Hamlin, and Baylen Spector are also week to week. Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson, who were both injured on Saturday night, a couple of defensive linemen, one a tackle, one an end, will be limited this week. They will get safeties Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop, as well as linebacker Nicholas Morrow, to do some walkthrough and individual work. So that's, I guess, some good news there. But safety continues to be a concern. Hamlin downplayed what happened to him late last week in advance of this game on Saturday, but was then held out of the game and now is week to week. McDermott also added multiple weeks for Trubisky, MVS, and Quinton Morris. So multiple weeks. We'll see, man. The other update is they are not going to play starters in the preseason. Sort of like I alluded to in the first segment, how injury concerns, field conditions, weather, but really I think injuries at positions like linebacker and quarterback already had the Bills feeling a little nervous about playing certain guys on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. That's going to carry over to the Carolina finale. McDermott says the plan was to use starters in this Saturday's preseason game against Carolina, but because of the rash of injuries they have already experienced, that is not going to be the case. So starters will not play on Saturday when the Bills host Carolina in the afternoon. 803-0550 is the number. Let's fire it up on the phones. Ryan is first up this segment. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Bulldog, love the show, man. First of all, I need to find out why did the Bills re-sign Trubisky, released him 2 years ago, and sign him again. Secondly, why wouldn't we sign Carson Wentz when he was out there? It doesn't make any sense. I don't see what Brian has his love for Trubisky. I do understand this. Please explain.
Okay, well, I'm at a loss, too. I did not like the signing. I would hope it wouldn't matter, but you want to be as good as you can be everywhere you can be. I'm no Carson Wentz fan either, but I don't know. The crush on Trubisky might just be that he was a good dude. He got along well with Allen, and they liked him being a part of their quarterback room. But it's tough because you're talking about guys who aren't at the level, like that they, you know, they're backups and they're backups for a reason. So they're all going to have some flaws, I think, to some extent. And maybe they feel like Trubisky, even though he's a little less than eager to pull the trigger on throws down the field, maybe they feel like they want to trust him to take care of the ball more than a guy that might take more risks. I'm not sure what the attraction is. I don't see it. Before this injury news today, with him missing multiple weeks, I was prepared to come in here and advocate for the Bills signing Ryan Tannehill to be their backup quarterback, honestly. And who knows? Maybe that is something they will feel like they're forced to do. Because not only could they need a quarterback body to run their offense on Saturday in the preseason finale against Carolina, they may need a backup quarterback. Like right now, for September. If Trubisky's going to be out multiple weeks here with this knee injury he suffered on Saturday night, they may need a new backup quarterback, and I'm not really ready to tell you that that should be Ben DiNucci. So they might have to go fishing here, whether that's a trade, whether that's somebody that's out there just unsigned that wants to play, that they feel like they can trust. I think that's on the table. And I would have told you that even without this injury to Trubisky. But the injury necessitates it in a very different way. Like, they just need a guy now. Whereas I would have been thinking, is it too late to upgrade at backup quarterback? Because I'm not impressed with Trubisky at all. It seemed like a fine idea 3 years ago. He never really had to play and went on his way to Pittsburgh. And watching in the last couple of years in Pittsburgh, I just thought, that ain't it. And they brought him back. And it's as much of a mystery to me, Ryan, as it is to you. I don't have an answer for you. I'm guessing it's the chemistry, and they trust him, and he gets on well with Allen, and, that sort of thing. Because I don't think watching him play last year or the year before in Pittsburgh would have led you to think, oh, I want to put my offense in this guy's hands if something happens to Josh Allen. Hector is next up. Hi, Hector. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Just wanted to give my take on the whole Joe Andreessen situation. You know, as a coach myself, after watching that game Saturday, it's obvious that he should probably just plug in and be one of the starting linebackers. And I also want to point out, you know, that we should probably take a larger look at the local talent in the area. I think guys, you know, whether it's UB or some of these other schools, you know, they've shown that they can ball. And, you know, I've been a coach for 15 years in football in this area, and I think we should look further into it. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up the
mic. All right, Hector. Thank you. Appreciate the call, and I appreciate the fact that you're so devoted to coaching, because it's rewarding, but it certainly can take a lot out of you too. So good for you for doing that. Yeah, I don't know. You plug him in as a starter. Like, I mean, we'll see. All right. I didn't mention him in the first segment. I think there's reason to be encouraged about Dorian Williams, for one, and Terrell Bernard is their starting middle linebacker. I don't know what, and I'm a big Bernard fan, so I love this Andreessen story. I would be rooting hard for him to make the roster. I don't know what fan of Buffalo football, not just the Bills, but, you know, like the caller saying, it's Lancaster High School and it's UB, wouldn't be rooting for him to make it. So I'm not saying anything novel by telling you I'm rooting for the local guy to make the team, but I think it's deserved. But I'm going to slow down a little bit on, you know, you got to find a way to get him on the field. You know, I know they have an injury at a linebacker position, but it is not, you know, he doesn't play Milano's position. And I don't know what kind of flexibility there is, like how much symmetry there is in those two roles. You know, we've heard a lot over the years about Hyde and Poyer, how the safety, their jobs were sort of interwoven, right? It was the responsibility shifted, and really it wasn't like a classic strong/free safety approach. It was like both guys were asked to and did sort of both jobs at different times, right? So I don't know if linebacker on the Bills has that same opportunity. So I can't tell you how much of an ask it would be to get Andreessen out into Milano's spot. I would tell you that I think playing in the middle as opposed to being on the edge and outside in more space, I don't think that's Andreessen's calling card. I think he did a very good job using his athleticism and his instincts to make plays, but I don't know that I want him you know, out at the boundary chasing running backs on pass routes. There's going to be some of that, certainly, but like I think athletically, that's not a Milano replacement, I don't think. Unless there is enough similarities in the positions, and they think Bernard could play Milano's role and Andreessen could play middle linebacker for them, like, My mind went there watching the game on Saturday. I don't know if that's realistic either. So it's one of those things we'll just have to keep monitoring. But I think the kid has done a great job of making it very hard for them to keep him off of the roster. I'll bet all through this he had shown well enough that they were thinking, okay, practice squad, and we'll just keep developing him. But I think after Saturday that could be tough. It doesn't have to be, but it could be tough. So we'll see. Could be a tough decision there. Mike is next up. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
How you doing, guys? So I just wanted a little vent right now. Honestly, I feel like this is going to be a lost season. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but just with the injuries already stacking up here, and they were short on talent to begin with coming into the season, but with Samuel and everybody else now, and also, too, I cannot remember since maybe during the drought, I feel like coming into the season, I have no expectations, no excitement, anything at all. Like, I went to training, out to training camp and the scrimmage both times, and I wasn't even excited when I was there. And this just feels like a lost season. Feels like it makes me more angry because we should have got it done when we had the players we had over the past 4 years. You know, I could see if we have a down year, if we already had a Super Bowl appearance under our belts. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to swallow, which is going to be this season. I'm thinking when we never cashed nothing in with the great players we had. You know, I mean, honestly, just think about all the great players that have been through here in 4 years, like Jerry Hughes, Emmanuel Sanders, the Hyde and Poyer. You know, I can go on and on, you know, and not one appearance with this team. One? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. The injuries are intimidating, daunting, certainly. But we'll, like, Samuel is week to week. So is DeMar Hamlin. You know, there are still a few weeks before the season gets here. So the guys that are multiple weeks, like MVS and Quentin Morris and Mitch Trubisky, that's more problematic. Samuel, of the players here, I think is the one I would say you were probably counting on the most from. So he's right to be highlighted, but he is not multiple weeks. He's week to week. We'll see if that turns into multiple weeks. The safeties, who are just getting back to doing walkthrough and individual work this week, Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop, were deemed week to week a few weeks ago already, and they're just getting back this week to doing individual work in practice. So, a timeline on Samuel is hard to really pin down, but he is not in the group that is already assumed to be out multiple weeks, which is where Quentin Morris, the third-string tight end, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Mitchell Trubisky are residing currently. So maybe there should be some hope that Samuel can get back, I think, in time for the start of the regular season. Frank is up next. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bulldog. Are the Bills okay with their kicking game with Bass and Martin? Is it even open to competition? I don't think either one of those guys shined that much last year that they should have a guaranteed job walking into camp. What do you think?
Well, I think the money that they are on the hook for to Bass is likely the explanation there. And the fact that he's been excellent for most of his career here last year was shaky. I think it bears watching. I don't anticipate, they haven't really, they had a punter here for a bit. But I think Martin's going to be their punter. I don't anticipate any changes there. But special teams overall last year, they had their problems, and the kicker and the punter were some part of that at times. But I don't see anything changing there. It's not to me the kicker maybe more so than the punter. I mean, I tend to kind of be like, I don't really care who the punter is. Okay, just to be honest about it, the kicker obviously matters a lot. I think that if there are, once the season gets going, because practices have not been perfect. Bass is 5 for 5 in these two games. Nothing really long, but still, 5 for 5 is 5 for 5. So he hasn't missed yet in any of these games, but he's been kind of uneven in some of these practice sessions from what I read. And I think if there is signs of difficulty there, like a missed extra point, missed field goals early in the year, I would expect them to act quickly because of the way last year ended. But there, I think, and I would say I support this thinking, giving him the chance to just work his way out of it. Because he has been good and dependable more than he's been a little scary, which is, again, how last year ended. So that's how I see that. Thank you for the calls. Appreciate it very much. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're about 20 minutes away from Sal Capaccio's first appearance, well, on this show of the week. He, of course, did his own show earlier today and was on the morning show. But we'll get Sal's take on all this injury news, what they're going to do, if anything, at backup quarterback here with Trubisky out multiple weeks with a knee injury suffered on Saturday night. And the plan moving forward. We'll talk about Joe Andreessen. I know Sal had his former high school coach from Lancaster on his show this morning to talk about Andreessen. So we'll get into that and more with Sal here in about 20 minutes. But time for you, if you want to get in before the top of the hour, next segment, 803-0550 is the number. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR. Hanging here on a Monday afternoon. Glad to have you along for the ride. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. He will be back tomorrow. Zach Jones along for the ride as well. 803-0550 is your phone number. Sal Capaccio on the way here in just a few minutes at the top of the hour. We'll get Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of injury news with the Bills. If you haven't been paying attention, the following players are going to be out multiple weeks. Mitchell Trubisky, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Quentin Morris. So that's your backup quarterback, a depth wide receiver, and a third tight end. Curtis Samuel, more than a depth wide receiver. DeMar Hamlin and Baylen Specter, linebacker, are week to week. So that's different than multiple weeks. So that first group, Trubisky, MVS, Quentin Morris, are more severe, but not great news either on Samuel, Hamlin, and Spector. Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson, who were also injured in the game on Saturday, will be limited this week. There is some good news in that the Bills are getting a couple of safety candidates here, veteran Mike Edwards and rookie Cole Bishop, as well as depth linebacker Nicholas Morrow, back in this week to do at least walkthrough and individual work. With this rash of injuries, McDermott has already said starters will not play in the preseason finale against Carolina. He also did say they are in the process of figuring out how to add to the quarterback depth, because Trubisky obviously was the backup candidate here. Their third stringer got hurt in the preseason opener, and their third stringer now, Ben DiNucci, just got here. I don't know, this time last week he wasn't even here. Maybe it was Monday, the day they announced the signing. Anyway, hardly someone who's been around for a long time in the system. So they may need to do, like, at the very least, they need a body for Saturday. I think at most, they might feel like they need a different backup quarterback if Trubisky's not going to be ready to start the season. And, you know, that could bring some different names into the mix. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on all of that as we go. There is, I know, it's August, hockey news. Patrick Laine has been traded from Columbus with a massive whopping $8-point-something million cap hit. No money retained on the deal. He goes to Montreal along with a second-round pick for a young defenseman. So Patrick Laine is – Jordan Harris is the guy's name – going from Montreal to Columbus as the return in this trade. If you haven't been following this because, well, you're a normal, sane person and it's August 19th, Laine has had a very tough – since a fantastic rookie year, there have been injuries. There have been – and I don't scoff at this – mental health issues. He was in the player assistance program for a spell last year, has since been cleared and reinstated, and is even starting his own mental health initiative, which I applaud him for. But big cap number, big contract, not a lot of production, was extremely vocal about wanting to get out of Columbus. I happened to catch some of their GM's comments over the weekend about trying to trade this player and how challenging it could be. Well, they get it done today. So Laine to Montreal. This is notable maybe because while the Sabres have still never added that top six scoring type player that many people, I think, anticipated them adding once they bought out Jeff Skinner, Laine was a name for that. It's far from a perfect idea because of the money and the checkered past here recently with Laine, but it was certainly worth considering, I think. I know, you know, I haven't talked a lot of hockey on the air lately, but amongst my friends, his name has come up in discussions. So that ship has sailed. Today, he is traded to Montreal. There's also another day to go here on Edmonton deciding whether they are going to match a pair of offer sheets, which were extended to a pair of players last week by the Blues. Edmonton defenseman Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway, a forward, both got, you know, modest to varying degrees offer sheets because Edmonton's in a tough spot. Well, they made a trade yesterday to offload some money in Cody Ceci. So that seems to me like they're clearing the decks to retain at least one, if not both, of these players. We'll see, but they have until tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly of the timing on that, but I know Tuesday at some point is the deadline for them to match or let those players go to St. Louis on those offer sheets and get some draft pick compensation. So how about that? A little bit of hockey news. All right. I am the Bulldog. We'll take a timeout here. Sal Capaccio, give us the rundown on already a lengthy, what has been all summer, really, a lengthy injury list, and it got longer on Saturday. So we'll pour over all of that and talk about Joe Andreessen's job on Saturday against the Steelers, really the story of the game, and anything else that comes up along the way. So stay tuned. More calls on the way after that. Sal Capaccio, though, straight ahead. Mike is off today, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.